but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc, I rip to a tear. Switch a scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd. No, we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio Show. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV and the antimedia.org/radio. Happy to be back alive and well. On this Monday, July 17th, 2017, a lot of stuff, a lot of ground to cover. So much news. What's up with these damn cops? They're just out of control. It's like literally it's become to the point where it's just extremely infuriating. And I know I'm not the only one, but it's just getting to the point now where it's just getting absolutely ridiculous. And you know, of course, the recent news on Philando Castile, you know, the guy who is gunned down, innocent guy gunned down because he was legally carrying a firearm. Cop got scared, blasted him. The NRA, nobody really gave a shit other than, you know, the typical people who go out and protest for police shootings, Black Lives Matter and activist groups and stuff. NRA wasn't there to help this guy, even though he was a gun owner, legally carrying, gunned down by the cops, which isn't that what the NRA supposedly stands for? They're supposedly there to protect your rights, your Second Amendment rights from the government taking them away. But yet when the government literally kills the guy for exercising his Second Amendment rights, they don't do anything. We got a great story up today from a new writer that's going to be working with us on the police brutality issue. It called "We Finally Know Why the NRA Didn't Stand with Philando Castile After a Cop Killed Him." Very good article. It breaks it down that, you know, the NRA it's a boot-licking organization. I mean, sure, there's been times when the NRA has done good work because, you know, the right to bear arms is a very valid, you know, right. It's something that we should definitely respect and flex. We got to flex our right to bear arms. You got to admit, you know, it should be more normalized to be armed and so you can protect yourself in the case of, you know, especially in the case of the damn thug-ass cops coming around and trying to beat everybody up, just like a video just emerged today of a woman here, close to here in Riverside, looked like, you know, an older Mexican lady got beaten up by a cop for selling flowers without a damn permit. Like, dude, this stuff, it makes you very mad seeing it. Like, I've grown to the point now where I've become pretty upset.
It's like they're trying to provoke some kind of reaction or something.
It almost seems that way, right? Joining us now, sorry, dude, I forgot to introduce you. My longtime co-host, DB Schwartz. What's up, man? How you doing, man?
Hey, man, this stuff's happening up here where I moved to, and it's just kind of interesting, and the dynamics and watching how
so,
people in this... Well, I'm just going to say there's three groups of people that live up in the cities. There's people that live in the actual cities, the people that live in the immediate suburbs around them. So, like, I guess you could say the very first ring of suburbs, but that's still the city. And then there's the deep actual suburbs. And they're three different, totally different mindsets, dude. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I wanted to get your perspective on this because, first of all, you know, of course, the Philando Castile case was up there in your area. But now there's this woman who I presume was just, you know, a white woman living in the suburbs. I mean, this is just what I'm guessing. I didn't look too deep into the story.
She lives in South Mini, which is actually where I live.
Okay.
Which is kind of freaky. She got killed about a mile away from here.
Wow.
She's over on the richer side. Where she lives is middle upper, where I live is middle. And I mean just straight middle, like teachers and those kind of jobs, whereas over where she lives are the doctors and the lawyers. So for her to call and run out in her pajamas and probably was, you know, hysterical, someone's breaking in my house, and was yelling at the other guy's partner, and this douchebag, I'm guessing, who should have never been a cop, he was actually in real estate property management before he was a police officer. That's a great background to be in.
Yeah, he totally, fails business. Like, well, I failed at business, so I'm just gonna, you know, be a thug-ass cop, a welfare.
Dude, he's a thug because he has these other federal investigations put against him. And this is going to bring the feds into town. Now they're going to put both St. Paul and Minneapolis PDs under this federal investigation because Philando was St. Paul. They're totally different kinds of things, but they show the incompetence and unprofessionalism. And ironically enough, where this lady's from, Australia, cops are required to have college degrees and cops are not given lethal firearms unless they're part of SWAT teams.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we need to get to that point. Of course, that brings up the whole the validation of the Second Amendment. Does that only apply to militias? And then does a militia mean that it's controlled by the civilian public? Now, if we can make it so that we follow the Constitution strictly, we can disarm the police departments because they do not serve as the city watch any longer. And that was what it was about. Militias were like the city watch. That's what they were about. They prevented, you know, towns from being overrun by other towns and natives and, of course, the British Empire. But we're well beyond that. We need to modernize it, of course.
Yeah. And so, you know, this story, this is like one of those stories where it has the possibility of getting, you know, not to play the race card and shit, and I hate doing this, but, you know, there's definitely a layer of apathy among the suburban white crowd when it comes to police brutality, but every now and then there'll be an incident like this where it's just some upper middle class white woman who she literally called the police because she thought someone was breaking into her house. She called the cops because she wanted help. The cops show up and killed her. Like, what the hell? How does that happen? Like, in a
and
nice
to make it
even to, you know even
to make it even more dubious, she was a natural health practitioner who was a big proponent of being able to cure and prevent all kinds of cancers through diet and supplementals and, yes, using Rick Simpson's oil as a preventative measure. And lo and behold, she's now shot down by this guy. Now, this guy's background couldn't be more convenient. Let's put it that way. They're going to politicize his past. They're going to find out why he was here. They're going to use it to ostracize the entire Somali community when 99% of them are fleeing a horrible, horrible war-torn country where you cannot possibly live in safety. So I don't know, man. I believe that if you wanted a powder keg to explode here, then that's the population to agitate. Whereas in Chicago, you know, they've been doing a fine job with just getting gangs to just have open warfare.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous at this point. And you know, what's interesting is we had Derek Brose and the Houston Freethinkers in town. They stayed here at the anti-media headquarters last night. We were hanging out. They're on the Decentralize Your Life tour. amazing, amazing event. If you're able to catch them right now, they just made it to the West Coast. They're going to be heading north from up to Orange County today. Right now, they're in Orange County. Tomorrow, I think they're going to be in L.A. And they're going to be heading north. They're going to come back through, I guess, Nevada, Utah, that area, and, you know, over the next week or two. And then later on this, I think they're going to take a break, and then they're going to do the East Coast. So you still got some time. I know a lot of our listeners are over on the East Coast. You still got some time to find out where they're going to be and go see this event, connect with
them. They're not coming up here, are they?
I think they are. Yeah, they're going to be. I know they were talking about being in Ohio. Yeah, they're going to be up in your area. I don't know when they're going to be up there, but it'll be sometime this year. So they're kind of splitting their tour up into like different parts. So right now they're doing the West Coast, and they're going to do the Midwest, and they're going to do the East Coast. interestingly enough, you know, Derek Brose was talking about a solution last night at the event here in San Diego that could have prevented what happened to this woman who was just killed by the police out there in Minnesota, which was just a simple web. It's a website called nextdoor.com. DB, I think you brought this up actually in a previous show that you've been using this website as well. But basically, so, you know, in Derek's neighborhood in Houston, you know, they live down in like, it's Houston's a really, really big city. It's got some really rough areas. Where the Houston Freethinker House is, it's kind of like in between the rough area and the outlying areas of downtown. So it's a real, you know, interesting area. But there was some theft going on. Bikes kept disappearing in their neighborhood, and some people were posting on it on Nextdoor.com. And, you know, Derek was saying that the two solutions that people were coming up with was, well, let's set a bike, a bait bike out there and electrify it so that the thief gets electrocuted. And the other one was just to call the cops and, you know, keep an eye out. And, you know, Derek and a couple of their friends were like, you know what, like, we can do a neighborhood watch type of thing. And a couple of us guys will walk around at night and, you know, we'll just make sure the neighborhood's okay, you know, keep an eye on things. And, you know, and sure enough, they did that. And the bike thefts went away. So things like this, where this poor woman, and I know she probably called because she didn't know what else to do. But calling the cops at this point in the United States is a very risky thing. They may show up and they may kill you. Even if you're an upper middle class white woman living in a nice neighborhood, they may show up and they may kill you. It's not just happening now where they're going to show up and, you know, show up in a poor black neighborhood and there's a kid with mental disabilities acting up and then taser him to death like it happened multiple times. It's not just that anymore. It's now hitting the suburbs and stuff. So now is the time to start rethinking the usefulness of the police. And as you were saying, DB, at the very least, we got to start disarming these guys, and maybe at the very most, having some specialist groups like SWAT team that have arms.
Everybody here is so heavily armed, and I mean, everybody has something at home. I mean, pretty much. Even a lady well into her 70s, who's our neighbor, has told us, you know what? If anything happens, I can defend myself. I'm armed. And I said, thank goodness. I don't have to worry about you. But that's what's going to happen, Nick. They're not going to call cops anymore. I mean, it's going to get to the point where it's probably just safer for you to unload on whoever's trying to screw around on your property, and then whatever happens, just lawyer up, and you should be okay. That's basically the name of the game now. If you're a property owner and you're afraid for your life, why would you not use the same exact excuse they're going to use against this lady now, that she ran out in her pajamas and this guy was afraid for his life?
Yeah, dude. It's
what other argument can he have unless he just pleads guilty and takes his 5 years for manslaughter because he's an incompetent moron who shouldn't have a gun? That's the only other play he has. Because why else would he pop around into her stomach through the freaking door of the police car, and it went over his own partner? So he could have killed his partner easily.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he accidentally shot her. But that's no excuse. Look, you're a damn cop. You should, You should be trained. You should know how to handle your firearm. You should not be accidentally discharging rounds. You should not be accidentally shooting people. Whether it was an accident or not, there's no excuse. And, you know, this isn't the only incident. Another incident, of course, I talked about the one here in Paris, California, where the lady got brutalized for selling flowers, which is just infuriating. I couldn't finish watching the video. I mean, she peed her pants and everything, dude. It was the saddest thing I've seen in a long time. This kid in God, where the hell is Hingham? What the hell state is this? I don't know where this is at. Anyway, this kid with mental illness, 26 years old, upset about his girlfriend dumping him, was in his room with his dog, and he had a handgun. And his parents were a little bit worried about him, so they called the cops to see if they can come. You know, just I don't know what the parents thought. The cops are going to come de-escalate the situation and just, you know, make sure the kid, you know, go into his room and maybe just separate him from his gun or whatever they thought he was going to do. The cops show up and turn the whole thing into a giant siege. And the SWAT team shows up and they're there all night laying siege to this dude's bedroom. They broke his windows out, sent in like some kind of camera. And sure enough, the kid killed himself. Not right away, but after hours and hours of the SWAT team laying siege to the kid's bedroom, the kid killed himself. And it's very likely that he probably, you know, his parents were just a little concerned about him, and his parents have given statements afterwards. The dad asked the cops, why don't you guys just let him go to sleep? You know, if you can't get him out of the room, let him go to sleep. You know, maybe all he needs is to go to bed, and he'll wake up tomorrow morning and he'll be okay. But they just kept going and going and going, smashing his windows out, sending in a camera, SWAT team. And then they just heard a gunshot and boom, the guy blew himself away. So it's just a gross over-militarization of the police. And at this point, I don't know what exactly the route should be, but trying to get reform at the police departments has been it hasn't really done anything. I mean, how many riots are we going to see? How many guys are going to get killed unarmed by the cops? I mean, the Eric Garner thing happened, I think, about 3 years ago today, I think it was. How many of these incidents are going to happen before these politicians finally say, oh, well, we're going to change it up, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And, you know, everyone thought that the body cameras were going to do something positive. Well, like the one that just happened there right by where you're living at, DB, the guy didn't have his body camera turned on. What the hell are they there for if they're not going to be used? And you know, the body cameras are not, from what I've seen, they're only being used to criminalize people even further, and they're not really being used to help hold accountability to these police. So that was just a fake. It was a pump fake, and everyone was like, oh, well, we're all good. We don't need to do anything else. You know, they're going to have body cameras now. It's like,
Well, they're already talking about, because of the result of the Philandro Castile hush-hush $3 million settlement that nobody seems to be really pushing too hard in the media, the fact that they immediately paid his family $3 million. They also paid, by the way, the cop $48,000 in back pay before they fired him. So that was cool. Anyway, he's still eligible to get hired at any other police department in the country, by the way. There's nothing on his record that states that he couldn't be. That was part of his deal, I guess. Anyway, what this is going to do is going to easily exceed $3 million, Nick. I mean, easily. I could imagine it being 10 times that much the family gets. And I can imagine my taxes and everybody else's going sky high. And they're talking about now saying if the body cam's off, then it's got to be a personal liability insurance that covers these guys. That if there's no footage, there can't be any departmental backup legally. And I support that decision. If they don't have evidence of how they're portraying themselves and acting as police, they need to be on their own insurance.
Yeah, dude, I mean, we got to keep pushing for reforms, and we got to start making
the... It's just common sense. We're not asking for anything that's not... that's logical, isn't it? If you give somebody the means to kill somebody quite easily and the legal ability to do so, they must have footage of their actions. Otherwise, everything in court needs to be protected by on their own dime. No departmental, no city, no nothing.
Yeah, personal responsibility.
The Personal Responsibility Act for Law Enforcement of 2017. If we could push one thing through with popular support, that and then getting something like a Medicare for All, because everybody's going broke, they get sick. Those two things would be huge.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you know, I don't want to detract from, you know, police, you know, anti-police brutality activism and stuff. It's necessary, and we should try to reform the system as much as we can. At the same time, I think we need to also stop relying on the cops for basically everything. That lady should not – calling the cops should not have been her first option or instinct. We need to have – first, we need community-oriented solutions, and the last resort should be involving the state in our communities. Because when a cop – I know when a cop – well, I live on a really busy street, so it's a little different. But when I used to live on a more quiet street, when a cop would roll down, everyone's like, oh, fuck. Like, everyone's looking around like, okay, let's make sure we're not you know, put the blunt down or, you know, hide the beer or whatever. Like, you know, just don't give them a reason to pull you over. Like, when a cop goes through your neighborhood, it's not really – I mean, maybe it's different in the suburbs and stuff. But for me, it's like – it's not a welcome thing. And the cops around here, they like setting up a checkpoint right around the corner from my house where there's a stop sign. They hide behind this guy's fence, and they catch people running the stop sign. They catch people for petty, you know, seatbelt violations and that kind of crap. And I told them last time I was over there. I think I mentioned it on the show because it happened like right before – I was riding my bike right before one of our shows. And I think I mentioned it that – I told the cops, I'm like, dude, what are you guys doing here setting up a checkpoint? Like, you're – the people in this neighborhood are not welcoming you here. They don't want you here. You're intimidating people. You're scaring people from even wanting to drive down this street anymore. And
they don't do that here. They just don't. I don't know if it's because maybe out there it's more cash strapped and the tax base is stronger here and there's less per capita problems. But, I mean, they just don't do that. There's a lot of DUIs. Don't get me wrong. We were massive DUIs. But the checkpoints just aren't here. And I also think maybe people out here, they just wouldn't freaking stand for it at all. There's just some things that will get them to – I mean, there's mad protests up here. There's now a protest for this lady. There's a huge one for Philandro. And it had any and every kind of person, white, black. There's a ton and ton of Latinos moving up here now. Of course, the Muslim community came out. Everybody, dude. So, like, it doesn't matter. Now with this lady, another huge thing is going to happen because everybody's realizing it's the state is encroaching. It's we're all in this together against the very few.
You know, and the debate came up a lot because, you know, after a lot of these police killings gained widespread, you know, they got hella publicized, and the whole Black Lives Matter movement came onto the scene, and you know, there's definitely some good things Black Lives Matter have done, but they definitely were racializing, like, a lot of this stuff, which is definitely, definitely a legitimate concern.
It's because of their funding was always meant to be divisionary. It's not that there's not good people in BLM. It's just that the people that are getting paychecks are meant to stir shit up that is not constructive. It's not constructive to have a race war in the year 2017. No. How stupid are you to even suggest that? You're a moron if you think we should have a race war. You should just freaking jump in the ocean and never come back.
yeah, and so, you know, there's... So what I was going to say is that, first of all, the big race issue is that per capita, people of color are more likely to be killed by the cops. But at the same time, because there's a lot more white people in the United States, white people are actually make up the majority of people killed by the cops. And so I know that a lot of this has been racialized and stuff, and I don't want to detract from the fact that, you know, brown and black people are more likely to get killed or brutalized by the cops or stopped by the cops, especially. I know I personally have been stopped by the cops many times, and simply for being a brown guy driving a car that you know, driving a Honda, like a Honda or whatever. I had my old Integra, and in that car I got pulled over so damn often. And when I got my mom's little white Nissan Sentra that looked like a boring grandma car, I never got pulled over anymore. Anyway, now at this event over by where you're at, where this, you know, upper middle class white woman is getting blasted needlessly by the cops, this, I think, could definitely start bringing out a little more solidarity across the racial divide and stuff, and getting people from all classes and all racial backgrounds and stuff together. Like you said, understanding that this is not it's not like, oh, white cop kills black guy, because this cop, you're saying he was a Somali cop, right? Like
And then Yanez was Honduran who killed Philando.
The that killed Philando was a Latino guy. So
it's across lines. It's just exactly. Blue. It's
not white cop kills black man. It's police state thug kills innocent U.S. Person living here in the U.S. Like, that's the issue. It's not white cop kills black man. It's the police state is killing our people. That's what it is. And so, in my opinion, I mean,
it's the philosophy of our current state that began because of the Patriot Act and allowed these circumventions of the Constitution, which we can take back legally. We have the opportunity in the window right now. Government's never been in more of a confused state than it is right now, and we can take things back right now that we need to. Like, police should be probably only when called upon. And we should probably have neighborhood militias, a.k.a. a watch for each individual neighborhood of people from the community that can patrol armed and keep random crime from happening. And if there's things they can't handle, they can call the police, who will show up in SWAT style and blow everyone away. And that would be the last resort.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so, you know, this is one of the things that I like so much about Derek's presentation, is that it's a very... You know, it's very much based on the idea of agorism, and it's anti-political activism, where it's us building the infrastructure needed, that is community-run infrastructure, where we have quote-unquote policing institutions that are run by our own communities, that are made up of people within our own communities that know the people within our communities. So when you show up to a lady's house, it's not like, oh, it's just some raving lunatic running out of her house, and oh shit, I better shoot her because I don't know if she's the criminal or not. It's like, you show up, you already know who she is, you live a block away, and you understand what's going on in this neighborhood. You know what the habits and the tendencies are going on. You know that there's been a series of break-ins going on. You know who the victims and you know who the criminals are, and you're not just going around blasting people that you don't know. It's a whole different story. And this would make things a lot more harmonious in our communities, and then we wouldn't have to rely on the cops, and then there would be no reason for the cops to come into our neighborhoods, so that we wouldn't have to feel scared of the cops, you know, doing something crazy. Like I said, when I lived in an area that was a little more quiet than the place I live now, like, it was a little bit of a frightening scenario when a cop rolls down your street, because you're not sure if they're coming for you, or if they're coming to your house, or if they're going to your neighbor's house, or what they're doing, because it's like, oh shit, here come the cops. Everyone put your shit down and act normal. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like a good feeling, you know? Like, when I was a kid, I was under the assumption that, like, oh yeah, cops are good, and, you know, I feel safe around cops and stuff. But now, as I've gotten older and now knowing what I know, now it's the opposite. It's like, when I see a cop, I want to do everything I can to not have a exchange with that cop, because I know that I've at the point now, especially with recent stuff going on, I'm so angry with the police that if I have interactions with them, it may not end well. I may end up saying some stuff and they may end up getting offended, and then I may end up getting beat up or worse. And it just wouldn't end well. So if we can build up these infrastructures, and they could even be paid things. You know, you could pay a guy from your neighborhood or a couple groups of guys to go around, and if there's some bad stuff going on, there's robberies, there's break-ins, there's people harassing people, well, you get these, you know, you get the big guys in your neighborhood to go around, and you pay them, you know, $20 a night, and they make sure the place is safe. That would be a much better situation than having cops patrolling and then cops coming in and blasting people who aren't deserving of being blasted, basically. And that's one of the things Derek was talking about, is the need for us to build up these institutions. There's already some apps out there. I was mentioning Nextdoor.com is a good one. There's a bunch of other decentralized ones too. I won't mention. There's one that's already specially suited for community policing. I won't mention it just because the guy who created it is an absolute douchebag. But it's a great app. I just don't want to enrich a douchebag. But anyway, there's apps coming out now that are going to start helping us solve these issues. So if you live in a neighborhood, if you're listening tonight, you live in a neighborhood where you may find this kind of stuff useful, look up the apps. And sooner or later, there's going to be solutions for this stuff. They're doing it in Detroit as well already. In other places around the country, there's already pockets of this stuff happening.
Have you seen those security droids, Nick? Those freaking R2-D2 looking dork bots that have come out?
one of them suicide today.
Yeah, one of them does. Yeah, exactly. They don't have the greatest spatial reasoning or anything like that, and they don't have AI yet. But I, you know, for what I do, I go to a lot of, you know, kind of hoity-toity areas sometimes, and there's a gated community that has a couple of those things as sentries, and I guess apparently because they do lower the crime rate, it lowered their insurance as an HOA. So those things are becoming a reality. So, you know, the human element, you know, we can bitch about cops, but we need really highly educated, moral, ethical cops, and we need few of them that can do things like control drones and things like that from an HQ, and they can respond when we call them, and then we need to pick up the slack of a patrol, neighborhood patrols that we pay, so we control as citizens of the immediate neighborhoods. By zip code is the easiest thing I could think of. You know, how many people live in a zip? We need 0.1% of them to be officers to protect the other 1,000 per each cop, right? Something like that. It's a great ratio. Let's just stick to that, and that'll fix our policing issue.
Yeah, dude, exactly. And, you know, you could set it up like through an app, and then people could volunteer their hours, and then the community pays them directly. You're not dealing with a middleman bureaucratic process, which is like the middleman. So
yeah, you pay them in Bitcoin or Ethereum. There you go.
Yeah, and, you know, like our police station here in Chula Vista, where the anti-media is located, is they built us a massive fucking police station. I think it was like $90 million, dude. And when they built that, it must have been about 10 years ago. And this was before I got involved in like activism and stuff. It pissed me off even back then, because I was like, what the, like, it blew my mind, because there's so many homeless people living like right across the street from where they built it. And they spent $90 million on it. And it was just ridiculous. Like, it's ridiculously big and nice and high tech. Like, it, we don't need it. The city that we're in, the crime has gone way down because of the drug war. The drug war hasn't ended in California, but a lot of the punitive stuff has ended, and the decriminalization of marijuana has kind of erased a lot of like the gangs around here. There are no longer really any cohesive gangs. They're just like maybe just a couple taggers and stuff now. You don't, back in the day when I was growing up here, you'd see gangs of people mobbing on the street, you know, 20, 30, 40 people mobbing and harassing people on the street, taking people's stuff, robbing people. Now you see, if you see two or three gang members together on the street, it's a pretty rare sight to see that big of a group. So, you know, we've got this huge ass police station and this huge police presence here that is not needed. It's no longer needed here. Maybe 15 years ago when it was infested by gangs and shit, it could have been maybe feasible or warranted. Now it's not. There's not the kind of crime is not here anymore. So now we got this huge ass police department who need to make a lot of revenue to keep themselves relevant, keep their the department up and running. So they're out here setting up checkpoints, trying to tag people for running little stop signs that even the stop sign shouldn't even be there, and they're giving people tickets for running it. So it's just a huge waste. It's a huge waste. And so how much I haven't even looked into it, but I could just imagine how much in taxes me and my neighbors pay for the damn government to go allocate that money to the police station, and the police station administration allocates that money to the officers. And for all the other crap, I mean, there's a few middlemen in between me and paying these cops to do their job. If the situation was different, we set it up through technology and it's like an app and there can be people, it's like Uber, right? It's like Uber, but it's for your community, and it's like, okay, we need someone to go out and do the patrol tonight. And if nobody signs up, then the price just keeps going up until someone's like, all right, I'll take it at that price, 20, 15 bucks an hour. Sure, I'll do it. And they claim it, and then they go out and they do their thing. They patrol. Then it's direct. It's peer to peer. It's like I am directly paying this dude. Me and 1,000 other people are paying this dude 15 bucks an hour, which comes out to what? I don't know. It's probably less than 15 cents. It's probably 1.5 cents a person to pay this guy. And he's keeping my neighborhood safe, and he's my neighbor, and I know him, and I know he's not going to shoot my dog, and I know he's not going to run up into my house and you know, take my theoretical cannabis plants or whatever. It just makes so much more sense. We would save so much more money. We would not have people getting gunned down. People's dogs wouldn't be getting taken down. People wouldn't be getting arrested for victimless crimes for smoking weed on the street or having cannabis on them. It would just all around. Like, I can't really see a negative. I don't really see anything negative about this. Almost everything about the current policing system is negative. It's way too expensive. There's no transparency. The cops aren't held accountable. They're way too fucking violent. They entrap people with checkpoints. They violate our fucking rights. Like, it's just everything about the cops are bad. Everything about peer-to-peer community security is good.
If we wanted a paramilitary group, we'd want them on a damn paramilitary base, not on patrol. They've skirted the line. They've become too much of what they've always wanted to be, which is in the military. Now they can be in the paramilitary. They can have a base. And we'll call them when shit gets out of control. And then when shit gets too out of control for them, then they can call on the tanks and crap, because then we're at war.
Seriously, dude.
If it's like
a battle of 40 gang members against 40 other gang members,
we'll call
it's like
you up.
The cops in. But
yeah. Bring your MRAP then. And all your dudes. Like, for all. We'll, in that case, just come guns blazing, because we can't handle it. But I mean, dude, I just saw a thing from Chicago where a guy got in a car chase, and they had like 100 officers there on one guy, and like 40 dudes all had to get a shot on him. So, you know, he got beat up pretty good. I mean, but that's a gross overreaction. Like, we don't need this kind of stuff. This stuff instills fear in you. That's the entire goal of it. There's no goal of protection, safety, or security. It's to instill fear in you. If you get out of line, you're going to have 100 guys come blow you away.
Yeah, dude. I'd love to get Justin King's take on this. I should have invited him on the show tonight. But, this kind of stuff, these overreactions, like you were saying, is the kind of fodder that is going to be the fuel.
Dude, my buddy who lives in New York told me a guy jumped the subway thing, so he didn't pay like his $1.75 ticket. And they used two helicopters to find him. And if anybody knows about helicopters, I think there's something in the range of like $100,000 an hour to run. So they had two of those looking for this guy for like over an hour for a $2 ticket. Plus like 40 or 50 officers were chasing him.
That's ridiculous, dude.
So the grand total for everything was $250,000 to get a guy on a $2 ticket. And then, of course, he got like a bunch of other charges, but I mean, it's $250,000 for a $2 subway token.
Oh man, it's just like you said, it's a gross overreaction. And by gross, I mean both meanings. So this all this stuff going on, and this video of this lady, I mean, once it gets a little more around, especially down here in the Southwest. This isn't Paris, California. It's here in like Riverside, Southern California.
That's atrocious, dude. That's a freaking lady that is trying to earn some money and has no idea what the hell is going on about what the hell a permit is.
Yeah, and she was like, she was speaking in Spanish, so like, I don't even think she was. She probably isn't really fluent in English, so she probably didn't really understand what the dude was trying to say anyway. But you, what she was saying, in you can kind of make out what she was saying. She was like yelling back at the cop. And she's like, why in the hell are you doing this to me? Why aren't you out there getting gang members? I'm just trying to earn an honest living. Like, she was saying all this stuff in Spanish. It's like, I'm just here trying to earn an honest living. Why aren't you out there arresting the real criminals? And the cop just grabs her and takes her down, grabs her by the hair, throws her on the ground, puts his hand over her mouth, twists her backwards. Like, it's brutal, dude. And this woman was an older woman. You know, she's probably in her 50s. Probably, you know, just a poor working class woman literally out there just selling, you know, I don't know where you guys are from, but here in the Southwest, there's a lot of people, especially on like holidays and stuff where you go and, you know, it's like, let's say it's Mother's Day or whatever. And on every corner, there's like a little stand where there's people out there selling flowers, you know, unpermitted, which by all means, I support that kind of, you know.
But what's the worst that could happen? Those flowers have Monsanto on them?
Yeah, seriously, like, are those flowers hurting anybody? Like, does the government really – are they that obsessed with collecting revenue that they want that
– what did those flowers come from, like
– over the flowers? Is it that big of a deal? Like,
I mean, where did they come from? Is the – what are they worried about?
Just – it's so dumb.
And then, like, they'll do that to street vendors for food that's fully cooked, and you're like, dude, anything that could have been in there is long dead. Like, that shit's on fire. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, so, you know, this video is going to get around, and it's going to cause some people down here in the Southwest to be upset. You know, we're majority Latino here in California, and to see a little Mexican woman get brutalized by the cops, literally all she was doing was trying to sell fucking flowers on the fucking side of the street for, like, $5. And
she makes the point. It's like, dude, California has a massive amount of horrible crime. It is the epicenter for child trafficking. It is the epicenter for all human trafficking. It's the epicenter for all kinds of shit that these guys could be trying to stop. And they're worried about this lady? Just think about that, dude. Think about that when you fill up at the gas station, your taxes are like half of that gallon because of these douchewads going out and busting flower-selling lady.
Yeah, dude, it's mind blowing, man. It's mind blowing. It's gonna.
What's her charges? What is? Do people that applaud this cop think she's not gonna just end up getting like $100,000? She'll probably end up being able to just buy her citizenship now. Good job.
You know what she's probably gonna be charged with is resisting arrest is probably what she'll be charged with, which is a bullshit charge because it's like, oh.
But she feared for her life.
Yeah, how are you a criminal for resisting arrest? Like, what's the other charge? You know, and so it's just, oh man, it's.
What if that would have been a guy dressed up in a cop's costume who's a psychopath who's trying to put her in handcuffs, throw her in the back of a car and take her somewhere? Because a rational human being doesn't think that a real police officer would do this kind of bullshit because it doesn't make sense. Who are these people these freaking departments are hiring?
Thugs. They're damn thugs.
These aren't regular people, dude. I think that everybody needs to undergo a citizens controlled evaluation that's in every police department, period, and find out the hiring procedures because this is showing – all these events are showing that it's not even slipping through the cracks. It's department policy to hire people that are a danger to us all.
Seriously, dude. Seriously, it's just – it's unbelievable. So – reform, I support the act. I still support the activists out there trying to fight for reform.
It's more than reform. Let's bring about a bill that's passed that the cops that are in AI and the good cops, we give you the authorization to have do whatever you need to do to clean house. If tomorrow morning there's a shootout at the cop station, we'll support whoever wins.
That's a good one.
100%. We support you. take out the bad cops, the good cops listening. Take them out. We support you 100%. Set them up. Get them on tape. Get them on tape. Get the evidence against them, and then just take them out. We'll have our trial. We'll absolve you. All good. Case closed, and the country will be cleaned up.
Trial by combat, Game of Thrones style.
But seriously, think about it. If tomorrow morning you woke up and 25% of the precincts were just dead from internal shootouts, and all the good cops said, "We got evidence. Here's the videos. We took them out ourselves to prevent an insurrection and a civil war in the U.S. We clean house. You guys got our back, right? Is there any citizens out there listening that's going to be like, no. Nope. You're like, come on. Yeah. Good job, fellas.
Yeah. So this video of this woman is going to stir up some stuff. I wouldn't be surprised once it gets around a little more here in SoCal. I predicted this. DB, you probably remember that show. It was actually the last time, I think it was the last time we had Justin King on. We were talking about the ramifications of Trump and his kind of anti-Latino rhetoric and how it was going to affect and radicalize people around this area. This video is going to stir up some stuff. So just be prepared. I'm just warning you now. I know I live here. I know what's the general sentiment is. This is going to stir up some stuff.
Well, California should just break apart, but the problem is they'll never let them. So if that ever happens, they'll just reinvade them, and then it'll be horrible for the people that live there. So I know that some bad shit's going down, and that as crazy as people think, California could do it economically, which is true. There's just no way they're going to let it go. And that's just a sentiment I know is strong everywhere. So I don't know, man. I feel like we could break apart, but we have to do it like simultaneously with Texas leading the way, and that would be it.
All got to go at the same time. One at a time, it just ain't going to happen. It'll be like Syria here in San Diego.
They would love to use whatever they got built in over there on the people that are trying to break away and just test it out and see what happens. Whatever Tesla crap they have buried, or HARP or whatever, they'd cause an earthquake and cut off part of the state and just push it into the ocean or something.
Let's move on to some other news here. Foreign policy, which of course is our big topic. 330,000 people dead in Syria in the last 6 years. The U.S. plays a major role in that. Of course, according to the mainstream media, Russia has done all of that damage, which is not true.
Russia's the one that killed 230,000 people?
No.
I was going to say, because if somebody's stupid enough to try to blame that kind of figure on them, I mean, I'm sure they've killed thousands with their bombings, but there's no way they killed that many.
Yeah, so it's 330,000 dead in the last 6 years, and it's just that war is a fucked up war, and it there were some organic elements in the early stages, which were cracked down on by the Assad government. But that being said, it's not much different than what the U.S. did in, Ferguson cracking down on protesters, and Standing Rock cracking down on protesters. But what the U.S. and Western powers and other people who had an agenda over there, including, like Israel, Saudi Arabia, and other players, they took that as an opportunity to say, oh, look how bad the Syrian government is. Let's arm the people that are, standing up. Imagine a reverse scenario where Standing Rock is going on and China comes in and says, oh, I can't believe the United States is brutalizing those protesters at Standing Rock. We need to send them weapons. We need to send them arms. We need to send them rockets. We need to send them, surface to air, man pads and shit like that. And so that they can fight back, and we want to bring them freedom. That's roughly, just to give some context, that's kind of what we did. We saw a little opening. We said, oh, I can't believe the Assad is so bad. Look what he's doing to his people. And we start arming the shit out of these other guys over there, not really knowing or maybe not that we didn't know, but not caring that we were arming some people who were going to become ISIS. In fact, there was some DIA documents that came out that basically was like okay with creating ISIS as long as it was going to affect the Syrian government negatively. They didn't really care. And so that's what they did. And so, you know, 330,000 dead in 6 years, that's a lot of people. And that blood, it's on our hands. We paid for that. And that's why we talk about foreign policy so much on this show, is that, you know, sure, we've got a bunch of problems here in the United States. The cops kill around like 1,000 people a year, but we're talking 330,000 dead that didn't have to die, because partly because of our tax money being sent over there, and a bunch of apathetic assholes that don't really care or don't give a shit. And then, of course, the hypocritical liberals that are like, well, Russia is so bad. I can't believe Russia did that. And it's so bad that Russia did what they did in Syria, and just literally ignoring everything the United States did, because Obama was the one that initiated all that. Not Obama himself, obviously, but, you know, he was the president at the time, and Obama authorized the arming of these rebels. And
basically, but wouldn't we do the same thing if someone attacked Mexico, who's on the border with, like, Russia with Ukraine, and then with Afghanistan, or who we push them out, and now we're trying to push them out of Syria? That would be like somebody trying to push us out of, like, I don't know, whatever we control, Peru or something down in South America. Like, you just don't push people out of their, you know, proxy states and not expect them to fight for it, especially when it's so vital. Like, I don't know, Russia would cease to exist without Syria. They're like the warm water port. They're how they move their oil out.
Yeah. Yeah, very strategic for Russia.
It's like the Panama Canal almost for us. It'd be like, how would we transport anything?
And it's so hypocritical for the United States, who just recently got done invading Iraq for basically no reason. For no legitimate reason anyway. Obviously, there were other reasons involved that they don't like telling us about. But they lied to us, and they made up a bunch of shit, and they said, okay, we're going to go and take out Iraq. And then they say, oh, I can't believe Russia took over Crimea. That's unacceptable. We have to impose sanctions. Russia cannot do that. Crimea is 80% of the people there are Russian.
Yeah.
Everyone there speaks Russian. It's historically a Russian port. Right on their border, connected to them. And we're like, oh, that's unacceptable. We can't let that happen. But we go to Iraq and we go to Libya and we go to other countries and we topple governments. And it's like, oh, yeah, no, but we're doing it for good reasons. Russia doing it for bad reasons. No. Both groups are doing it for reasons for power, you know, for their geopolitical strategy. That's why they're doing it. They're not.
No, but it's also for your cultural sphere too. Like, if China tried to take over Puerto Rico, we would like fight to defend them.
For sure.
I mean, we've taken over Ukraine, so like Russia's not going to be like, oh, let's just let Ukraine just sit there. Yeah, take over Crimea, the whole Black Sea area too. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So, luckily, well, not luckily, but fortunately, I just saw some photos coming from Aleppo, and they're starting to rebuild. You know, the Syrian government has successfully pushed back a lot of these rebels, and, you know, ISIS is basically done at this point. It's so confusing.
But that makes them more desperate, which is almost awful. It's like this last gasp is going to be something you have to really be careful with.
All the info coming out of Syria, it's so conflicting, and it's so hard to decipher what's actually going on there. It's really, really hard to understand. But let's just say as soon as Russia started targeting ISIS's financial base, which was like their oil, illicit oil trade, which Turkey was basically consuming a bunch of the ISIS oil or whatever. As soon as Russia started like bombing out ISIS supply lines and oil routes and shit like that, that's when Turkey like shot down that Russian jet. And, you know, it's a very complicated thing. And now Turkey is bombing U.S.-backed forces, which are like the YPG Kurds. So Turkey's bombing U.S.-backed forces. The U.S. is backing Islamists And the CIA is backing one group and the Pentagon is backing another group. Those two groups fought against each other. The entire reason we say we're there is to fight against ISIS. However, for much of the time, we haven't actually been fighting against ISIS. But now that ISIS has been cornered, now we are actually fighting ISIS. It's just a very, very, very complicated situation over there. But underlying issue here is, and it, you can just look at the news headlines and you can see the problem. You know, last week there was the announcement that, the U.S. and Russia agreed to a ceasefire. Well, there's the problem there. Why are the U.S. and Russia agreeing to the ceasefire? And then I just read today that, Israel is not going to stand by the ceasefire. Why are all these other countries, powerful, rich countries, why are they agreeing to ceasefires when the fighting is between Syria and supposedly other people within Syria? So obviously there's an issue here. It's a massive, massive proxy war, and the media keeps on downplaying it, pretending like it's not. But one of my most viral articles from last year was actually titled, "Mainstream Media Finally Admits That the Syrian War is a Proxy War." And it just kind of broke down all the stuff going on and how ISIS is like indirectly a proxy of the, you know, U.S., Israel, Saudi Arabian axis and all that stuff. But that's what it is. It's a proxy war, and it's between the U.S. and our allies and the Eastern Bloc, which I guess you would group Russia and China in with that. It's between us and them. And a bunch of innocent Syrians have died, in a conflict that they really shouldn't even have been a part of. And it's so cowardly to fight proxy wars. Like, it's such a dick move to fight a proxy war, because it's just shitty,
but the alternative's the shittiest.
Yeah, but at least the alternative is more... It's not as cowardly, right? If we're going in and we're killing, the U.S. and the Eastern Bloc are fighting against each other and killing a bunch of innocent people in Syria who really aren't involved. You know, the innocent people of Syria aren't fighting us or fighting the Russians. They're just caught in between. They're just like caught in the crossfire because we're too cowardly to fight each other on each other's soil. Like, we're too cowardly to go to Russia and say, you know what, Russia, we're sick and tired of you guys monopolizing oil in Europe. We're going to start bombing out your pipelines heading out of Russia. And that's what we're going to do. And then if you guys want to fight back, good luck trying to shoot down our jets. And then it's not like Russia's coming over here and bombing out the Dakota Access Pipeline and bombing out the Keystone Pipe or whatever to try to stop our oil supply. They're too cowardly to do that. Both sides are too cowardly to fight each other legitimately. And so a bunch of innocent people in Syria have to die because we're too scared to fight a legit war. And it sucks because it's not a legit war to us, but for the average person in Syria, they're dying. Their homes are being blown up. Their cities are being destroyed. In Iraq, Mosul is like done. I don't know if you've seen the photos. Mosul is done. It's just as bad as Aleppo. Destroyed. We destroyed the place. And then CNN report, the United States just got done liberating Mosul. And then you look at the photos, the whole city's destroyed. It's like, wait, whoa, did we liberate it or did we level it? It's kind of hard to tell the difference. And the same thing with Aleppo. The RT, the Russian media, is like, Russia and the Syrian government liberated Aleppo. Go look at Aleppo, dude. Aleppo is, leveled. They're rebuilding now. 500,000 refugees back in. That's good. And hopefully this Syrian war is winding down. Thank you for tuning in. That's after you make it back. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go. Go through the stereo.
This is Ozzy Skateboard, and you're listening to UCLive.tv.